Hello, and welcome to the Entertainment Dagger for the week of October 28th. I am your co-host, Michael Stallion. Alongside me is the lovely I can't even talk. Lovely, talented, and oh so spooky, Melissa Hansen.
Oh, so spooky. My life is spooky. That's what's spooky.
Yeah, well, it's been a bit of a harrowing journey for you, so.
Yeah, it's been a long week. I'm sure the three of you that listen regularly know what's been on last week.
Yeah.
Because my entertainment a week ago was watching a soccer game live.
Yes.
Then watching and hearing my boyfriend break his clavicle during that soccer game.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that was not fun. Yeah, we're going to record like after that. So anyhow, I spent the night sitting in a hospital. And I've spent the past week playing nursemaid.
Yeah.
But that does leave lots of time for watching movies.
Okay, what did you watch?
There's absolutely nothing else he can do at the moment.
Wow.
And so we ended up, actually, before he broke it, we watched The Shining.
The original one. Virgin, yeah, yeah.
Which I have seen, but it's been, I watched it like in high school. And I think I watched it one time after that. It's been forever. So anyhow, watch that. And then watched the miniseries from the late 90s.
That was Stephen Weber.
With Stephen Weber and Rebecca De Mornay starred in that. But that one was produced and the screenplay was written by Stephen King.
Mm.
So it followed the book. Okay, so I watched that. And then I watched the new documentary, Room 237.
Oh, yeah.
It's Kubrick's version. So, and that's the deal. People have only seen Kubrick's version, haven't read the book. The basic thing is there, the basic characters, but yeah. Kubrick completely makes it his own.
Okay.
There's some things that make sense to change, just work better in a movie or do difficult.
Yes.
One of the big things that changes is in Kubrick's version, there's a big labyrinth.
Oh, the maze. Mm-hmm. The hedge maze.
Right. It's like a hedge maze. Mm-hmm. Well, in the book, it's topiaries.
Oh.
Which would have been difficult to do moving, coming alive topiaries.
Back in that time.
So that kind of makes sense. It took the general idea and it made it easier in the movie. But still, yeah, Kubrick kind of made it his own thing.
Okay.
In the book and then the miniseries, it's very much a haunted house story.
Okay.
It's a haunted house. There's ghosts. They're driving him crazy, trying to get to his son because his son has special powers.
Yes.
And Kubrick's, it's very much more a picture of someone going insane.
Okay.
And you don't know if it's ghosts for sure. And then there is the whole, like, he's always been the caretaker thing. To me, it's not as clear what's really happening. Because in that, like, a lot of the ghosts and stuff that appear, it's like in mirrors. Mm-hmm. And things like that. Which brings us to Room 237.
Okay.
It's gotten tons of acclaim. It's a new documentary. It's about Kubrick's The Shining, but it's really about people's theories about The Shining.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of people. Some of them have written some books about Kubrick and things like that. Some of them just, they're obsessed with the movie and what it means. So it's, all as it is, different people's theories about what Kubrick really meant.
Okay.
Because it can't just be a scary movie.
Right.
We can't have that, can we?
Of course not.
There has to be some huge earth-shattering meaning.
Yeah.
I like the idea of this documentary. And a lot of people love this. This has won awards. I
think really?
I reviewed it for us and overall liked it.
Okay.
I like the idea of it. Rodney Astor is the director, writer, editor, everything on this. I don't like what he did with it.
Mm-mm.
I didn't enjoy the way he put it together. I thought it was poorly made. I know everybody disagrees with me on this, but that's what I think. I think it would have been more interesting to delve more into these people with the theories. Like, why are they so obsessed with this movie that they've seen it 200 times and that they've mapped out? Like watched it over and over and mapped out the hotel, like drew it.
Oh my God.
What it must look like. And of course it makes no sense. So of course there's theories what Kubrick meant because there's a window where there can't be a window. So this means some big, huge thing.
Geez.
Or this means like they only had so much space on the set.
Right.
You know, and they didn't worry about it. I don't know. But I didn't like, and what they did, he never shows the people and their who are saying their theories. It's a voiceover.
Really?
Here's my theory, blah, 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 blah. And they show and they slow the film and they do stuff. But when they're talking, like the guy's saying, oh, I went to the movie theater. You get a clip from Eyes Wide Shut of Tom Cruise going into a movie theater.
You're kidding me.
Or this guy says, like, I was in the back of a taxi. And you see Tom Cruise in Eyes Wide Shut getting into a taxi.
Oh, my God.
So to me, it would seem like manipulative and like fake. Now, it's all kinds of clips from other Kubrick movies.
Okay.
And I think some other movies too, but all of his, which is kind of neat to see it, but I felt like almost played. Like, I'm like, this isn't a reenactment. This is a clip from some other movie that really has nothing to do with it.
Right.
This. Like, I do not like the way he put it together. I would have much rather see these people talking. And I would have much rather gotten to know them more as a human being. Like, why are you so obsessed with this? To me, that's a much more interesting story than... Okay, so The Shining, Kubrick Shining, because he's known for, like... It's not continuity errors. It's stuff he's purposefully put in.
Okay.
You know, like, if the chair's in one shot and not in the other shot, it means something.
All right.
Does it not? I don't know. I can't tell you. But so, okay, so The Shining is about how the white man destroyed the American Indian.
That's really what it's about?
It's about, well, according to someone.
Oh, okay.
It's about the Holocaust.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's about subliminal advertising using sex.
Oh, my God.
It's about, you know, like all these different crazy things.
Huh.
Here's the best one. The Shining is Kubrick's explanation and maybe apology for faking the moon landing.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
And that's why it's changed. In the book, it's Room 217 is the big scary book in the hotel.
All right.
In Kubrick's, it's Room 237 because it was Soundstage 37 that the American government had him fake the moon landing.
Oh, boy.
So it goes from crazy to ridiculous. There's lots of interesting things that I'm like, how did I not catch that? Huh. Like one, like the carpet pattern is one direction, and then they flipped it, so it's like the other direction.
Huh.
All kinds of, the one thing I actually did buy, and it's just one shot, in the book, their car is like a red VW Bug.
Okay.
In the movie, it's a yellow VW Bug, and in one scene, Dick Halloran, one of the characters, is driving by this horrible accident. A semi has like flipped and crushed a car, and it's a red VW Bug. It's crushed. So it's Kubrick saying, screw you, King. I've destroyed your work. This is now mine.
Oh my God.
Which I don't know if that's what it means, but that one's interesting. Anyhow, I mean, if you're into the movie, it's an interesting documentary. I don't know what I buy and what I don't buy. There's a hell of a lot in it. I do not buy. It's beyond ridiculous.
Okay.
But there's a lot. You're like, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of grasping at straws, too. And that doesn't tell you, like, what it definitive is. And that's why I think it'd be more interesting. Just tell me about these, to me, kind of crazy people.
Yeah.
Who are so into this thing and have these huge theories. Like, I want to know about them.
Hmm.
What their family thinks about this. Or, like, you know, what else do they do with their life besides watch The Shining? And
yeah, right.
Get out their graph paper to draw rooms. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen the movie all the way through. My only connection to it is that my brother auditioned for the role of Danny.
Oh, my gosh.
When he was little. Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah. They had an open casting call in Chicago, and
yeah.
I guess they went through the first screening process, and then he got called, and my parents, we went down to some office building in Chicago, and he went up and got interviewed. So I don't know if he met with Stanley Kubrick or what. I don't remember how that was.
Yeah.
I think I would have remembered if that was the case.
Yeah, probably. It probably did not get that far.
Wow.
Just open casting. Yeah. But I don't know. I actually really like, for those of you who have only seen the Kubrick version, the miniseries is available on DVD. It's like 4.5 hours total. And if you like the book, it really follows it. I think they did a really good job with it. And there's a lot that I like about the book that I don't like with Kubrick's movie. I don't like changes made. I'm not a huge fan of his movie.
Well, Steven went through
on its own. It's a good movie, but it's not to me, it loses the really great things from the book.
But isn't that true of a lot of his stuff, that it was done by other people and screwed up? It hasn't until recent. It wasn't until recent years that he took more creative control of his stuff.
This is different. This wasn't like they just did a bad version of it.
Yeah.
This is Kubrick basically said, screw you, I'm making my own thing.
Okay.
With my own meaning.
All right.
So, anyhow.
Well, I haven't had much time. All I've been doing is theater for the past.
You've been a piggy.
Yeah, I've been a German piggy for the past 4 weeks. but we said goodbye to the piggies tonight.
Oh,
and we're moving right on to the next four projects that I have going at the same time. But I know, it's crazy. I'm booked through mid-February, which is good. It just doesn't leave me a lot of time for anything else. But yeah. I did, in the midst of trying to get some other work done this week, I watched Before Sunset again, because we had talked about my not really appreciating that movie when I saw it in the theater the first time, and I did find a new appreciation for it now.
Yeah, so this is the second one.
This is the second one.
From, like, 9 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
Especially the conversation that they have in the taxi cab on the way back to... Well, it's not even taxi cab. It's his chauffeur that was taking him to the airport.
Okay. I haven't seen that signing. Since it came out. I'm trying to remember.
So they get very emotional about... she admits to the fact that she lied about not remembering that night that they slept together, not remembering all the details, and he was upset because he showed up at that 6 month and she didn't.
Yeah.
And she played it off as it not being a big deal, and what it was a big deal to both of them, and what she was saying is, I hate you because you basically ruined love for me. I have not been able to love anybody since I had that one night with you, and it's all your fault.
Right.
You know, you destroyed everything I knew about love, and I haven't been able to recreate it with anybody else.
Yeah.
So it was very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I remember it not being completely satisfying, but the way it ends was the fact that he was going to miss his plane, and he was going to stay with her, at least for the night, and see where it goes. And then, of course, I started to watch Before Midnight.
Right.
And I've only gotten halfway through it. I had to stop because I had a show.
Yeah.
So,
well, next week we will talk.
Yes, we will talk
all the hell about this.
I do have to say, you mentioned the fact that he's lost his looks. Julie has not aged incredibly well either.
No, and I talked about that too.
Yeah, you talked about her boobs. I was just amazed that from the top up, she looks like the Julie Delpy that we know, but from the bottom down,
She's in her 40s.
Yes, exactly. And she's probably, has she had kids in real life?
You know what? I'm not sure. We're gonna talk a lot about this because I've actually, have been watching, 2 Days in Paris, and I'm partway through 2 Days in New York. So we will just talk all up about Julie Delpy next week.
All right. We'll do that then. Let's move on to the box office then because, Johnny Knoxville is on top.
Good talking to here. Now, I'm really not shocked it's number one, because there's not tons out there.
No, there's not.
But $32 million. Y'all gave Johnny Knoxville $32 million.
God.
And went and saw Bad Grandpa.
Yeah. And yet Ridley Scott opened a movie this week, and it only made $8 million.
Yes. So, Bad Grandpa, number one, $32 million. Gravity, number two, $20 million. Captain Phillips, just under 12. The Counselor, 8. And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, 2 is hanging in there with 6.
Yeah. And poor Arnold and Sylvester Stallone, only $4 million for Escape Plan.
Yeah, not so good. Yeah, Carrie almost made it. It's just under 6.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we've got four fairly decent movies opening this week at the box office. Ender's Game, which is the adaptation of Orson Scott Card's magnificent book that everybody has acclaimed, you know, up and down about this. It's a sci-fi, teen sci-fi story, and it returns Harrison Ford to the genre, which he hasn't done God only knows how long. He's since Blade Runner, maybe, since he's done a sci-fi movie.
Well, it depends what you count as.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's more action-adventure, I would say.
Yeah.
Although
it does
have aliens in it, so, yeah.
I'm just saying, it depends on your definition.
That's true. Last Vegas, which is, speaking of Jackass, it's kind of Michael Douglas and Morgan Freeman do Jackass. That's at least what the trailer is showing it to be.
Yeah, pretty much.
Matthew McConaughey's latest is Dallas Buyers Club, which is getting a lot of award season press.
Yeah.
But the big movie, I think, this week is Chiwetel Ejiofor and 12 Years a Slave.
Ooh, yeah.
Which is just supposed to be phenomenal. Like, this is going to be the film to beat come Oscar season. So,
yeah, that's what's is being said. And I do believe Clark saw it.
Oh, did he?
And was raving about
it. Okay. All right. So. Our very own Clark Douglas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to make time to see that. The last movie I did see was Gravity, and before that, it's been a long time since I've been to the movies, so. Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Monsters University, which you saw and enjoyed, correct?
Yeah, I liked it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as good as, it never is, as the first one, but it was good. It was worthy.
Yep.
It was better than damn Cars 2.
Ugh.
So.
We've got Jeff Bridges and Ryan Reynolds in R.I.P.D., which tanked at the box office, got terrible reviews, and I'm sure it's going to make some money in the streaming and physical media. Celtic Woman is back with another Home for Christmas special. This was live recorded in Dublin. These are always big things, especially for PBS mm-hmm. during Pledge Drive. They show these things, and huge ratings for them. There's a documentary called Springsteen and I, which Patrick Nagle will probably be calling me in 2 minutes to find out if we've got it so he can review it. Byzantium, which is another interesting movie. This is Gemma Arterton and Saoirse Ronan. And then they've made another Home Alone movie for direct-to-DVD.
Why?
With a little girl called The Holiday Heist.
Oh,
and the villain in this is Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, good Lord.
So, I... on Redbox this week, big stuff. This is The End, the comedy with James Franco and Seth Rogen. After Earth with Will Smith and his son. Don't go pay money to see this. It's horseshit. World War Z with Brad Pitt. And then Frozen Ground with Nick Cage and John Cusack.
Okay.
Over at Netflix this week, we've got In Bruges with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, which I have not seen.
Literally just watched that tonight.
What did you think?
It's very dark. Okay. It gets very violent at one point.
Yep.
It's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
But it's I liked it.
Yeah.
It's not a across the board recommendation.
Okay.
It's very dark.
All right. Speaking of dark, we've got Michael Rooker in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer on Netflix this week.
Yeah, you know, really quick, let's go back. So my line watching it, Ralph Fiennes kind of plays the bad guy in In Bruges. And I actually said, I think I dislike this character more than him in Harry Potter.
Oh my God, that's saying a lot. Wow.
So anyhow.
Speaking of shitty movies, 21 and Over. If you want to get drunk, the pain will not go away when you watch this. And then there's the documentary about the orca whales, not the one that they just played on CNN, but this one was narrated by Ryan Reynolds. It's called The Whale.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to some of the same things. Did you see that thing on CNN?
I did not.
About the orcas, and I can't. It was the trainer that got killed at SeaWorld. Is what sparked this woman to make this documentary. And then it was basically looking at all the orcas that are in captivity and just how...
And just how wrong we are as a species.
Absolutely.
With what we do to them.
Yep.
We are horrible.
Yep. Over at Hulu this week, we've got these kind of comedy night talent showcases hosted by Pauly Shore, Louis Anderson, and Rita Rudner.
Okay.
I don't know why they're suddenly showing up all at the same time, but... Somebody's producing them. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer 2, which I don't believe Michael Rooker is in. Hatchet 2 and House of the Devil. So all of these kind of C-level horror stuff is on Hulu this week if you need something to fill your... I have not watched any... No, I take that back. In the midst of eating lunch the other day, I watched the silent movie The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which is one of the earliest horror movies.
Yeah.
German expressionism. You can see where Tim Burton got his style from.
Because
this movie had to have been an inspiration for Tim to do things like Beetlejuice and Mm-hmm. It's all right there on the screen.
Okay.
So that's all on Hulu this week. And I think if you're looking at streaming media for horror stuff on any level, it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah. You are not going to have problems finding any kind.
Yes. So enjoy your Halloween week because it's all right there. That's all I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay, not too much new on TV this week, but Thursday, talking about Halloween, it's a great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. See,
nice.
So don't miss that. And then on NBC, they're doing SNL Halloween skits.
You know what I missed was the Toy Story Halloween special that Pixar did. Toy Story of Terror. That was played like last week. And I want, it's probably not on ABC schedule to do it again, but I hope it shows up on demand because I want to see it.
No, but see, that's what happens when we miss a show.
I know.
You miss the good stuff. All right. Friday, Storage Wars New York has its season premiere on A&E. And then their new show on Showtime. Yeah. It's called Time of Death. It's a reality show, but not a typical one. It follows people who are dying.
Who?
It follows people who are on their deathbed, like a woman who's dying of pancreatic cancer.
Well, that's
and it follows them and kind of the end of their lives.
Wow.
So we'll see how well it's handled. And it could go either way with that. Anyhow, that's on Showtime Friday night. So you guys that have cable can watch it and let me know what it's like. Saturday, Flipping Vegas, the season premiere on A&E. Pitbulls and Parolees, the season premiere on Animal Planet. And then Sunday, Real Housewives of Atlanta is back on Bravo. And the Food Network has Restaurant Express, which is a new food competition reality, whatever show.
Okay.
So, not much new on TV this week.
Yeah.
And stuff like Fox is, you know, doing World Series stuff.
Right.
So, all shows are kind of on hold. I'm missing them.
Yep.
So, all right. Music this week. Toby Keith kind of has the big release. It's called Drinks After Work. And then Linkin Park has one called Recharged, and it's remixes.
I didn't know those guys were even still together.
No, well, it's remixes of their songs.
All right.
So, let's see. And then I'm going to be talking a lot about Christmas albums.
Oh, God. Make it stop.
Weeks. But this one, I don't know. Sounds good. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Come on. That's got to be pretty good. It's called Wrapped in Red.
Yeah.
And then Susan Boyle. Still is working, and she has one called Home for Christmas.
Yep.
And that Johnny Mathis, sending you a little Christmas. And then, of course, the one we all need, Christmas Songs by Bad Religion.
Get out.
Yes. Isn't that excellent? All right. Books this week. So, Charlene Harris.
Who's that?
Who, True Blood.
Oh, okay.
Series.
All right.
Right? That's the Suki Stackhouse.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I get my vampires all confused. My young, pretty vampires. Too many of them.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so the last novel was the last novel.
All right.
Except she's now written After Dead, What Came Next in the World of Suki Stackhouse.
Okay.
So it's a follow-up, what happens in the future. She lists all the characters and tells you what happens to them throughout, like, the rest of their lives. So, all right. Anyhow, Ms. Danielle Steele has a new one called Winners.
Mm.
And then we've got some autobiography memoir stuff this week. A Cruel and Shocking Act, The Secret History of the Kennedy Assassination.
Oh, that's right, because it's the 50th anniversary.
You people come to Dallas right now.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Every museum, every cultural thing is doing it, every magazine. We cannot escape it here. So that's up. Johnny Cash biography. Johnny Cash, The Life by Robert Hilburn. And then, all your Clarissa fans, Melissa Explains It All.
Oh, nice.
Abnormally Normal Life by Melissa Joan Hart.
Now, there's a kid star who kept it together and didn't lose it in Lindsay Lohan or Miley Cyrus fashion.
Right. Right. I guess she has a few interesting stories.
Yeah.
Little naughtiness that went on. But, not quite like them.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that is out. And then totally cool book. It's a big coffee table hardcover.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro, Cabinet of Curiosities, My Notebooks, Collections, and Other Obsessions.
Ooh.
So it's, I guess he keeps notebooks when he's working on scripts and movies. Hmm. So it's stuff from his notebooks and his journals. It's his sketches and illustrations of like all his crazy cool characters. Mm-hmm. And then it's an interview with fellow filmmaker Mark Scott.
Huh.
So it's all like inside his crazy mind of how he comes up with these movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That could be cool. Nice Christmas gift.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple theater things. I'm talking about two different new shows.
All right.
So one story is actually two shows in one, but Waiting for Godot and No Man's Land are going to be in rep at Court Theater, starring Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Oh, I had heard something about this.
Yes, you mentioned before, but that has just started, and so they've started doing it, and it will just go back and forth with it.
Wow.
So. The other one, Grasses of a Thousand Colors, which is a new play by Wallace Shawn.
No!
Yes. It's a scientist who thinks he's solved world hunger. I don't know. It's opening this week, and it's running through November 24th. So it's starring Wallace Shawn.
Wow.
And Julie Haggerty.
Oh, wow.
And Jennifer Tilly.
Shut up.
Now, can you imagine sitting in a seat and listening to their three voices for 2 hours?
No, talk about three of the most unique voices in entertainment.
Exactly. That was my first thought when I saw who was in this.
Like, inconceivable.
But I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I could last a whole performance listening to the three of them.
Now, if people don't recognize the name Wallace Shawn, think Princess Bride.
Inconceivable.
Think Rex, the Tyrannosaurus Rex from Toy Story.
Yeah.
He's an amazing character actor.
Oh, yeah. He's fabulous.
Yes.
They're fabulous actors.
Yeah.
I just can't. They just, yes. The three of their voices.
Oh, my God.
To me, I can only take in smaller amounts.
Yeah.
So. Anyhow.
Damn.
So that is what's happening in theater this week.
One of these days, I have to get down to New York to actually see something. I mean, that's not to say there isn't a lot of great theater going on up the coast here in New England, but
right.
I do need to get down to where the heart of the theater world is. In entertainment news this week, we have three deaths.
What the hell, people?
I don't know. And I suppose we should start just by sending our condolences to our friends Jordan and Barb, whose niece passed away today after battling cancer. And I don't know.
Yeah. She became quite a celebrity herself. She was diagnosed about a year ago.
Yeah.
With inoperable brain tumor. And she has been on a mission for the past year. This 9, and then she turned 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Phenomenal human being.
Yes.
She was. Out helping others and making the most of the past year. Big thing was last Christmas, she found out Macy's was going to donate to Make-A-Wish.
Yes.
Which Make-A-Wish had granted her wish, a trip to Paris. Mm-hmm. But she wanted other people to get their wishes, so she went on this huge campaign to get letters to Santa so Macy would donate, and she got, like, Macy's to donate, like, $250,000.
Yeah, kind of, it was insane.
Through that. Yeah, beyond incredible.
And then she and her family set up this organization called Smashing Walnuts,
mm-hmm.
which was visualizing tumors in the shape of walnuts and then taking these, you know, mallets and smashing them.
Yeah. That was how our tumor was first described,
like right.
Size of a walnut. And so destroying walnuts. So smashingwalnuts.com.
Yeah.
If you guys have a few extra bucks lying around.
Yes.
And want to do something good with it.
Yeah. Yep. Gabby is, one of the angels. I mean, you don't think of kids being able to make a difference in the world. But this particular little girl did.
And it's, you know, if you don't have a few extra bucks lying around, which some of us don't,
no.
You still go to it and read her story and be inspired to do something for other people.
Yeah. Speaking of cancer, although this did not claim her, it's Marsha Wallace, who people will remember from the Bob Newhart show, more recently as Mrs. Krabappel on The Simpsons.
And what I remember her from... all the great game shows.
Yes, like Match Game.
70s and 80s.
Yep.
Yeah, and like the pyramid, whatever amount it was at that $25,000 pyramid.
Right.
kind of stuff. She did all those game shows, and she was always just smart and funny and kind.
Yeah.
And she did. She beat breast cancer a few years ago.
She did.
Was kind of outspoken about that. But yeah, unfortunately, just passed away from complications from pneumonia.
Yeah.
Is what it's being reported.
Right. And she is going to be in my friend Catherine, who is one of my neighbors back in Marina Del Rey. She has a movie coming out with Dot Marie Jones and Melissa Peterman. It's called Muffin Top. And Catherine is doing a Kickstarter campaign to try and raise money to do multi-city red carpet tours to help raise the visibility for independent filmmaking by women and women in film and going to different cities and helping to get more visibility for the work of some of these amazing women who are making films these days that don't get the play that a lot of the guys do in Hollywood. So keep an eye out. That movie will be coming your way relatively soon. Lou Reed passed away today.
Yeah.
At 71 years old. And it appears that it was he had a liver transplant back in the spring.
Yeah, maybe complications still from that.
Right.
So, but yeah, what a loss. Ugh. And condolences to his family and to his wife, Laurie Anderson.
I had
who
no
married
idea.
A few years ago, and I totally miss this. She's from my hometown.
Is she really from Glen Ellen?
Yeah.
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
She's from Glen Ellen. She's from my, and she's a bit older than I am.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't know her at all, you know, growing up or in school. But yeah, I totally kind of miss that story that they got married a few years ago.
Huh. And so, Lou, of course, frontman for the Velvet Underground and part of that whole Andy Warhol scene, art scene back in the 60s. Very influential. He's gone. And then Hal Needham, who is one of the greatest stuntmen of all stuntmen in Hollywood, responsible for such films as, you know, Smokey and the Bandit and Cannonball Run. And, you know, he worked with Burt Reynolds on Hooper and just he was kind of that guy for that genre of film and really kind of made a place for stunt people in terms of getting the work conditions and the equal pay and the health insurance and all that kind of stuff. He was a front runner for those types of things for that industry. He was 82 years old. So three very high profile passings all within the past like 48, 72 hours.
Yeah.
On happier though, still head scratching notes, CBS is rebooting Charmed. The Aaron Spelling Show.
Okay.
Which hasn't been off the air that long.
No, but it's like long enough that like who cares anymore.
So it was Alyssa Milano, Shannon Doherty, and Holly Marie Combs.
Right. And then Shannon left.
Right, and Rose McGowan came on.
Rose McGowan, and then Kaylee Cuoco was on like the last season.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So anyways, the premise for this new one is not the three witch sisters, but it's four witch sisters.
Okay, I just have one question. Is Julianne McMahon going to be on this one?
I don't know.
Well, then I don't care.
And even more head-scratching notes. Oh, this one's a little bit cooler. NBC is rebooting Murder, She Wrote with Octavia Spencer.
Shut the front door!
From The Help.
That, like, freaking rocks.
She was the one that made the poop pie and fed it to Bryce Dallas Howard in The Help. She's very sassy. And
that kind of rocks.
Yeah.
So I like it.
You go with an urban, maybe, version of Murder, She Wrote?
We'll see. Or urban. Oh, I hate that code word.
I know you do. I know. But Jill Scott did the thing for HBO, right? The Women's Murder Club? Isn't it?
No, that's James Patterson detective agency.
Yeah.
I feel horrible. I'm completely blanking on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a series of books, and Jill Scott started in that.
Doctor Who fans can get excited because Fathom Events is putting the 50th anniversary special on the big screen November 25th. Now, if you hadn't heard, the broadcast of the special is happening November 23rd at the exact same time that the original show aired in the UK, which means it's going to air here for the first time at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But of course, BBC America is just going to play it nonstop, so it's not like you're going to miss it. But being able to see it on the big screen that following Monday in 3D at your – so check your – go to fathomevents.com and check to see if your local Cineplex is hosting. Cause I
yeah, pretty much all the big cities, they're doing it here in the Dallas area.
Yeah, they're doing it in Portsmouth for us too.
Nice. Yeah, so not even that big of cities.
No.
It's in –
Ryan Seacrest has signed on to continue hosting Dick Clark's New Year's Rocking Eve, although no details have been announced in terms of money and how long it is. The pop Satan will continue to have his presence known on ABC for the holidays. Having lived in LA and been inundated with Ryan Seacrest everywhere, I'm just...
You don't have to be in LA to be inundated.
I know.
He's everywhere!
I know. Hey, your buddy Chris Brown was arrested for assault.
What a schmuck.
Him and his bodyguard put somebody
in
the hospital.
That's the word I came up with. Out of every word to describe Chris Brown, that's what I came up with. Anyhow. Yeah, he supposedly, beat down some guy. And, of course, the stories are completely different from the guy and from Chris Brown's camp. And who knows? But the thing is, he is charged with assault. And if he is found guilty... He's on probation for beating Rihanna.
He's going back to jail.
So he, his butt will be in the slammer for at least a little while if, he doesn't, plead this down.
There was a story that broke having to do with ABC that a blogger for the TV series Scandal was revealed to be an ABC sales director.
Nice.
Now, if you remember, there was the whole thing with the movie studios who were feeding quotes for movie posters and stuff like that a while back, so everybody got scared and they stopped doing that. Well, the story now is fleshing out to be that's not the case. So this woman who is accused of doing it, it's not true because it's the woman's former roommate who's pulling a single white female on her.
Oh, my.
So there's a much deeper story going on here that this woman is trying to set her up, her former roommate up to make her look like she's doing something illegal, but
right then.
More on that later. And then Julianne Hough, speaking of Ryan Seacrest, Julianne served as his beard for a while. She went to a Halloween party dressed as Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. But she did it in blackface.
Yes. Because first of all, there's no other characters she could have portrayed. It was like a group of young women went as different characters.
Oh,
okay, she could have been numerous other characters that are, white.
Yes.
No, or she could have just done it. You know, bugged out her eyes and did her hair all funny.
Yeah.
No, blackface. She had no idea she was going to offend anyone. She's so sorry.
How can you not know?
Again, this is the point. I don't think she's some horrible, racist, prejudiced person.
Stupid.
She's just an idiot. How do you not know? Putting on blackface is offensive.
Oh, my God. You know, that's almost like Prince Harry wearing a Nazi costume to a...
Right. Oh, I don't know. People would be offended.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. The Nazis practically destroyed our country, but I thought it would be so funny to dress as Hitler.
Yeah. Stupidity.
It must be a generational thing. You know, the brain cells are dying off in the younger generation. I don't know. Anyways, that's all I've got for news, although I'm sure there's much more happening right now as we speak.
Well, I want to bring up quick, poor Mary McCormack.
Why?
In Plain Sight.
Oh, yeah, from the USA show.
Yeah, from the USA show. Well, her new show, she was on a new show. Welcome to the Family. She played Michael Malley's wife.
Oh, that's right.
On a bad sitcom, right?
That's right.
Anyhow, that got canceled.
Okay.
And then all the pictures of her husband and father of her children, Mackinac and Catherine McPhee, who he directed in Smash.
Oh, shit.
And I guess Catherine's married too, but supposedly she's separated.
So that makes it okay.
So our condolences to Mary McCormack on her show and her marriage.
Wow. You know, it's bad enough that people have to deal with this stuff in private, but when you have to deal with it in public, and it's splattered all over the pages of every blog in town.
Yeah, and I'm, talking about it in a podcast.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Anyhow. All right, so big Kardashian news.
Yeah.
Kimye's engaged, getting married. She got, ginormous stone that could feed,
third world countries.
Underprivileged, town forever.
Yep.
whatever, Bruce wasn't there. He got snubbed by Kanye, but he's going to walk her down the aisle, blah, 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 blah.
What wedding is this for her now?
3.
Yeah. And that'll last probably just as long as her last one.
Oh, who knows? Anyhow. All right, that's the Kardashian news.
All right.
Now.
We were going to do a quick show, and it didn't turn out to be so quick. Do we have a contest for this?
We do have a contest.
All right.
It's called Running Mates.
Yeah.
It's a smaller movie, and it's a typical, like, can't wait to get out of your childhood town, go and make it big, and then come back.
Okay.
Are you going to, you know, snub your old friends?
Oh, gotcha.
Whatever. So, anyhow, the cool thing about this is Henry Winkler's in it.
Shut up.
Yeah. So kind of neat to see that. Henry Winkler's in it. Graham Greene's in it.
Wow.
So supporting cast is pretty nice there.
Nice.
Anyhow, so yeah, Running Mates, that is our contest. And we have like 10 winners this week. So.
All right.
Yes, very nice.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. And thank you for reading all of our reviews at DVD Verdict. And Dave Johnson is still experimenting with Daily Verdict, trying to, you know, feed the news stuff. And we're trying to develop, you know, an identity for that site. And it's still in its infancy. We have not devoted a lot of time to it yet. But keep an eye on it because it will start to grow and change. But that's what we got for you this week. So until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
It might not be the end of now. Oh, it's time to kiss this love goodbye.